Hi, my name is Scott Snyder. I'm a paramedic and paramedic educator from Folsom, California, and I wanted to share an experience that I had many, many years ago, early in my EMS career, that really profoundly shaped my view of the job and the way I treated people and thought about people and especially patients. It was young in my paramedic career. I had probably been a paramedic for about 2 years, and like a lot of young male paramedics, I basically thought I was a hotshot, and I loved doing shootings, stabbings, car accidents, anything with violence, anything with trauma, and I thought I was pretty good at my job. And I can look back, and I was pretty good at my job. But I always wanted to do the good, the quote-unquote good calls. I didn't want to have my time wasted with the typical meaningless, transfer for a tummy ache to the hospital. Someone's kid has the flu at 3 o'clock in the morning, and, I thought they don't need to go to the hospital now. I should be doing the stabbing 4 blocks over, and, this is a waste of my time. And I was especially disdainful of this one typical transfer that my service had to provide. We would, a couple times a day, we would be sent to the local Veterans Administration Hospital and be asked to transfer a VA patient over to one of the other local hospitals in the city of Syracuse for a CT scan, because they didn't have a CT scanner at the Veterans Administration. And, got banged out to do that call one day, and I didn't want to do it, because I thought that I would be better suited, again, doing a more of a real call somewhere else in the system. And, I can look back now and, think about how my demeanor was from the patient's perspective. And I'm sure that I wasn't there. Maybe I wasn't as nice as I could have been. I didn't talk to the patient, didn't ask him about himself, probably didn't take the little extra steps to make him more comfortable. Ask him about himself, his life, where he came from, what he did. Did he have any family? I was pretty disinterested. My goal every time I did a call like this would be to get it over with as soon as possible so I can get back in the system and do something more fun, more meaningful. And he did talk a little bit on the way over to the hospital. And during the course of that conversation, I learned that he had been part of the invasion of Normandy on D-Day. And I kind of filed that, and I thought it was neat, and just went on and dropped them off at the hospital and went about my day. And it just so happened that that evening I went and saw the movie Saving Private Ryan. And if you're familiar with the movie, you know that in the beginning of the movie, the elder Private Ryan is walking through the American graveyard in Normandy in France. And he goes up to Tom Hanks's character's grave marker in Normandy and falls down and starts crying. And then the movie goes to right from there, right to the invasion on the beach and all the hell that those guys went through. And it's graphic. It's the sounds, the sights, the movie itself, the filming chaos. It's chaos, and it impacts you sitting in the movie theater. And I remember sitting there watching this and all of a sudden being extremely, extremely ashamed of, how I had thought about this guy earlier today, who had, might very well have had that very same experience. And much as I'm actually ashamed and getting choked up now, I actually started crying in the movie theater because I was so ashamed of my actions and the way I had acted and acted toward this guy who, I didn't know from anybody. I knew he was a veteran, but I just took it upon myself to think I was too good to give this guy a ride across town so he can have, get a CT scan and go back to the VA hospital, which is a place I wouldn't want to be. I didn't feel bad for him. I didn't try to talk to him. I didn't try to make the trip easier. I probably didn't take the extra little steps to make sure he was comfortable, ask him if he was warm, if he was cold, didn't ask him about his life. I didn't make it a pleasant experience for him. And it really opened up my eyes, and I was ashamed. And from that day on, I went out of my way to make sure whenever I was dealing with someone who in the past I may have said, well, this is not worth my time as a paramedic. I could be doing something better, to take a step back and just talk to people and be nice and realize that no matter what we get called for, that's our job. And those people are worth our time. Mm-hmm. And, quite frankly, now my attitude is if you get to the point in your career where you don't want to do that call, you don't want to do that transfer, from the Veterans Hospital to the CT scanner, or you don't want to go and take care, you know, do the transfer for the cough at 4 a.m. or for the headache, you know, when you could be doing a shooting or stabbing or a full arrest or something that's more glamorous, then you probably shouldn't go to work, because that's our job. And our job is not to go do necessarily fun, cool calls, but our job is to take care of people. And more often than not, taking care of people means being nice and being there and just being a human being. And that's the lesson I learned that day.
Did that, you know, sort of those lessons you learned that day, did that filter their way into other calls that you might have been on? You know, when you did go on the big dramatic stuff, did that maybe, did you change a little bit of what you did to even throw in a little bit of the
calls? Especially dealing with family members during troubling times, for instance, during a cardiac arrest, where in the past I may not have been as attentive to the family's needs at that time. I mean, you know, we're taught that in paramedic class, and I'm a paramedic educator, right. And I always try to stress the fact that, you know, you have to take care of the family as well as the patient and keep them informed. I was definitely more attentive of keeping people informed, asking them, you know, do you understand what's going on? Is there anything I can help explain to you? Do you have a plan to get to the hospital, the people you need to call? I got a lot better at taking care of the people in the periphery of the call, not just the patient. Yeah.
The other thing I like that you said was not being there or being there.
Yeah.
And, you know, how do you think that, I mean, those are interesting concepts as far as like patient care, and how much do you think that's getting picked up on by your patients?
I think it's picked up enormously, and we don't realize it. I really don't. I mean, I think every time we sit there and do something that is seemingly as harmless as filling out paperwork, you know, during the transport, when you're sitting in front of the patient and basically ignoring them, filling out paperwork, I think that's even something as seemingly harmless as that is picked up by the patient, and it's construed as being ignored. You know, the thing we tend to forget is that what is routine for us a lot of times is the worst thing that can happen to the person sitting on the stretcher in front of us, no matter how unserious it seems or how routine or how mundane. It's very real to the person sitting there, and they don't deal with the things that we deal with every day. And they're worried. And they may not just be worried about their health. They may be worried about their family. They may be worried about the finances involved with going to the hospital. They may be worried about leaving their cat at home. You know, we don't know. But I think we need to be attuned to that and just talk with people and be nice. I think being nice is 90% of the medicine that we really give, and talking to people and putting their mind at ease, asking them the question, is there anything that concerns you? Are you scared? You know, is there anything I can help explain that would make this a little bit easier to you? I think goes a long way, and we don't realize it. And it's easy to fall into that trap of ignoring somebody without even realizing you're doing it, just by keeping busy, again, with paperwork.
Open Airways podcasts are produced by FISDAP with support from EMSresponder.com. All recordings express the opinions and experience of the speaker and do not constitute legal or medical advice. This and other recordings can be found at www.openairways.net.